What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, January 22nd, 2018. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Andy Cortez.
As always?
Well, as always, I'm me. I'm always me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Am I always on the show? No, usually it's Greg. But Greg Miller is currently in Montreal with the love of his life, Geneviève Saint-Ange.
Right.
Millar.
Doing a lot of scoops over there, video game scoops.
So many scoops? All the scoops. Mm-hmm. What scoops you been seeing?
Shit, nothing, man.
Tim Hortons?
I don't know, man. So here's the thing, Tim. I'm ready to talk about video game news.
Good. I'm happy you are, because we got a hell of a day, ladies and gentlemen. And by hell of a day, I mean, today was kind of light on news. But I was like, you know what? You know what, Andy? When I got Andy Cortez on the show, it's going to be a damn good show. So we got a damn good show
as
prepped
the,
for
as
you
as the
all.
Number one games journalist in the industry, I can turn any news into lemonade.
And that's what we're going to do today on this beautiful Monday. January 22nd, 2018. Now, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together to talk about all of the going-ons in video game news and the video game industry. You can watch the show on Twitch, like I just said, live, or you can get it VOD whenever you want on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or you can get it on podcast services where, Andy?
Around the Earth, planet Earth.
Exactly.
Two.
But we'd really like it if you went on iTunes and rated us and reviewed us and liked us and did all the things, because it really goes a long way. And subscribe on YouTube and subscribe on Twitch and do all the stuff, because it helps. It helps a lot. And if you want to give us a dollar on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, that would help too. It'd be fantastic. Let's get right into it, Andy. Let's start off with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got six stories today.
Half a dozen.
Straight up half a dozen. Let's start off with the real winner. All right, Andy.
Okay.
This comes from IGN.
I'm ready for it, man.
The directors of Monster Hunter World try to explain why it's not coming to Switch. In an interview with IGN, Monster Hunter World's director said, "We don't have any plans for the Switch at this moment. Part of the reason is that the title has been in development for almost 4 years. At the time we had to commit to our hardware choices, we decided on using the most powerful current generation consoles available at the time, which was PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So the decision was made before the Switch was even announced or on sale. It's also because for every title we decide what the best fit for hardware is for the concept. We just don't look at everything. It's more like, if we want to achieve this kind of game concept, where's the best place to achieve that? And for this title, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One were the best fit for us."
Let me unwrap this story, Timothy.
Please do, Andy.
Let me unwrap this story. No, in all seriousness, no, though. I'm not going to start off with a joke or whatever. I think this this possibly could come to Switch, even though they're kind of playing coy right now. And mostly because I know how huge the Switch not only is in Japan, but how huge Monster Hunter is. That Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter is in Japan. Yeah, that's a sequel. And I could picture all sorts of people playing this in cafes around the globe, playing with their friends, co-oping. I know this is going to be my first dive into this franchise.
Into the Monster Hunter world.
Into the Monster Hunter world.
There you go.
Oh, no, shit. You did.
No, yeah. So you're making a good point here. I mean, Monster Hunter kind of goes hand in hand with portable gaming, and the Switch being the first ever, you know, home console slash portable system, it would make a lot of sense for it to be on it. However, this game does look a bit more graphically intense than,
sure,
than previous Monster
You could
Hunter
dumb it down, man.
Have, yeah.
You can always dumb shit down. You use those LODs, levels of detail, Tim. See, not only am I the number one game journalist, but also game developer. So you can lower down polygon count and shit like that. You can use lower textures. So it may not look as good like a lot of lot of third party games like NBA and shit like that, FIFA. But I think this would be a huge hit for them if they were to put it on Switch.
And what's interesting to me about
this, they can't miss out,
is they've been big Nintendo supporters for a long time with the Monster Hunter series, with the, especially on the 3DS that we've seen. There's the PSP and then moved over to the 3DS and when, you know, RIP Vita. So going from there, what's interesting to me is there is a Monster Hunter game coming out on Switch in Japan, but not in America. And I feel like that's a mistake that they're making. But with Monster Hunter World, Worlds, when we first saw it at E3, I was like, oh shit, like this is definitely a different look for Monster Hunter. And with what they're talking about, it's less graphical and all that stuff. But it also seems like they're trying to go for just the how big the game is and the online features and stuff like that. It's just not exactly where the Switch is at currently. But really, all this says to me is it's another example of developers being like, oh, fuck, like we totally underestimated the Switch's
popularity. Sure.
And we've seen that before with Capcom, but now they're trying to like change course and like get back on it. And
I wouldn't be totally shocked because I do think this game is going to perform really well on Xbox and PS4, and that'll only equal to more resources for them to start a port, like start funding the port.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that, or some different weird version coming to it. I'm not familiar enough with the Monster Hunter franchise to understand how they release their things, but I know that there's always ridiculous titles like XX Monster Hunter, whatever the fuck. So I'm assuming those are just like different versions similar to like Persona, where it'll come out on the home console and you'll get the golden version on Vita or whatever. So
Monster Hunter Small World.
Yeah. Yeah. Another world.
Not as big. Yeah. No. But still there.
Still there. Next story. This is not so much a story as much as a thing, a congratulations that I want to give. Dragon Ball FighterZ got an 87, is currently at an 87 on Metacritic, wow, which is very impressive for Dragon Ball.
That is game. Special beam cannon.
Yeah, I like that. Are you excited for this game at all?
I am excited for the community that it's going to build. I'm excited to see this game played at Evo and stuff like that. I was talking to this game. I was talking about this game with James Willems from Funhouse because he was talking about how it is dumbed down enough to where an idiot like me can get into it and not have to be worried about crazy combos and things like that, because it very much is like MVC sort of Street Fighter, closer to MVC, I'd say. Mm-hmm.
In terms of shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But
it's our software, so that it is those guys.
You're able to use dumbed down combos that don't do as much damage. But if you are to nail the really complicated version, it has more damage output. I don't really know how much I'll play it. I think I might play it just for the nostalgia factor.
So are you a big Dragon Ball guy?
I was up until the Buu saga. So Frieza, Cell, and Buu. And then I just sort of fell off. I know a lot of people are stoked about Blue and whatever else Dragon Ball shit is out right now, but Dragon Ball Ultra, what the fuck? Super?
Gold? I think is it gold?
Is. Super. Is super. What it is
super. Now. I just remember like seeing like faked Photoshop Super Saiyans on like Kazaa. I'm like, oh, there's gonna be a pink one, but like it never happened or whatever.
I think there was like one.
But then it did in the most recent one with the fucking cat dude. What's his name?
I don't know. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't watch it?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. The movie.
I never had a Cartoon Network, so. That's just part
Super
of my childhood.
Super Saiyan God, I think.
Super Saiyan God, yeah, with the fucking cat guy. He looks like a Sphinx.
He looks like a Sphinx. I forgot
his name.
I think he's Cat Dude.
Right? Cat Dude is his name, turns out.
Kevin, you're a big Dragon Ball guy. Does this game interest you at all?
I haven't played in a while. I played PS2 era. Like, well, this I played is
different.
A lot of-
no, this is different.
Do you understand?
Do you understand, Kevin?
I feel like I'm getting yelled at.
Do you understand what this fucking game is?
So all the Dragon Ball games you've been playing, the Xenoverse and all those things, those are like 3D crazy fighting games. This is 2D. Like in the style of old school.
No, why didn't you tell me about this?
What's up?
Why didn't you tell me about this? I didn't know.
The whole internet's
been telling
me about
it. So it's a fighting game, Kevin. And what's really impressive about it is the graphics look insanely like identical to the way the anime looked. They're using like, of course, they're using cel shading technology, but they are recreating tons of different scenes from the shows as like combos or as match enders, and it's just so impressive, man. It's so impressive. But yeah,
it makes me want to dabble with it just because of how cool it looks.
And exactly.
I've been talking on Gamescast a lot about how I've been recently getting back into fighting games in a very cursory way where I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to play for a little bit and fuck around. I'm not ever going to get good at this. But there's something fun about going through with the character and fucking around, just seeing the specials and ultras and whatever they call them in this game.
I'm excited to see like any of the people that I follow who play Street Fighter and Marvel. I'm excited to see if they get into this world and if they are able to succeed at it. So
yeah,
I don't know when we'll see an Evo with this game. Maybe it's this summer, but I look forward to it.
Yeah, and I hope that it comes to Switch because this is the type of game that I'd want to bust out and just fuck around with on when we're traveling and stuff.
Yeah, but,
and I think it's going to eventually. Like I think that this is a weird thing that it hasn't been here because Bandai's been good about supporting the Switch. So we shall see. Next news story comes from Polygon. Former Sonic Team head Yuji Naka has joined Square Enix. Are you familiar with Yuji Naka?
I am not.
I definitely am. One of the few names that, like, growing up was always stuck with me because of his Sonic Team correlation.
Yeah, I just didn't give a shit about Sonic.
Yuji Naka is not only best known for programming and producing classic Sonic games, but also for heading up titles like Nights into Dreams, Samba de Amigo, and Phantasy Star Online while at Sega. He recently joined Square Enix. In 2006, he left Sega to start up his own studio called Prope, which released Let's Tap in 2008 for the Wii. That sounds like a jamboree. Prope also developed a few Digimon games, including Digimon Adventure in 2013 for the PlayStation Portable and Digimon All-Star Rumble in 2014 for the PlayStation 3. Digimon Adventure was awesome as fuck. It was a total retelling of the first season of Digimon in video game form.
So and you got to wear the goggles and stuff?
You got to wear the goggles. That's and everything, dream. Man. You just got to play through it, and it game was actually year. Really cool. And you got to see a lot of what's over Ultra? Mega level Digimon evolutions that we never got to see in the cartoon. Mm. So that was pretty damn
Ultra
cool.
Ultra Greymon stuff?
Yes, even more than that, though. He also programmed Sonic the Hedgehog. The origins of Sonic can be traced farther back to a tech demo created by Naka, who had developed an algorithm that allowed a sprite to move smoothly on a curve by determining its position with a dot matrix. You understand that? Game developer knows.
Yeah, dude. Totally, man.
Naka's original prototype was a platform game that involved a fast-moving character rolling in a ball through a long, winding tube, and this concept was subsequently fleshed out with Oshima's character design and levels conceived by Yosahura. Following Sonic the Hedgehog's release, Naka moved to Sega's U.S. branch, Sega Technical Institute, where he worked with famed American designer Mark Cerny on the follow-up in conjunction with the original team back in Japan, now known as Sonic Team. This partnership between Eastern and Western teams continued through the development of Sonic 3 and Sonic & Knuckles, though the bulk of the development duties shifted back to Sonic Team in Japan for those titles, which Naka had returned by that time. After the release of Sonic & Knuckles, Naka was moved up to the role of producer at Sega Enterprises in Japan. Naka didn't announce what he'll be working on at Square Enix, but said that his goal was to create an enjoyable game.
That's always the goal.
It's a good goal,
That's
right?
always the goal.
I'm happy for that. This is interesting news. You know, Sonic Team, definitely no longer in its heyday.
Sure.
They definitely had their moments, especially with the Sonic games, but looking at a lot of the other games that he helped put his hand in, including things like Phantasy Star Online.
And Let's Tab.
And then Let's Tab.
Yeah,
but Phantasy Star
that.
Online and Samba de Amigo, very different, but... classics in their own right in different ways, right? Specifically Phantasy Star Online. There's still people that love that game. Like Grimecraft is still, you can't talk to him without him mentioning it at some point because he's a crazy person.
At what point does Jaleel White enter the Sonic team? When did he take over?
He took over in the mid-90s.
Mid-90s, okay. Hasn't left.
Still there. Man. Still there. Actually, he's not still
Let's
there.
Bring back the
Hasn't
glory.
Hasn't been the voice of Sonic
of
for
Jaleel
a while.
White, yeah.
Yeah.
Next news story. This comes from Reset Era.
I've heard of them.
PlayStation figures called Totaku are a thing. The PlayStation licensed line of amiibo-looking toys comes by way of ThinkGeek, the merchandise outfit owned by GameStop, and are due to launch on March 23rd. There are a total of 7 different figures, including God of War's Kratos, Tekken's Heihachi, Bloodborne's Hunter, Wipeout's Phazar FX350, Little Big Planet's Sackboy, Parappa the Rapper, and my boy, Crash Bandicoot. Each of the figures is currently priced at $10, slightly less than most amiibo. There's no word yet on whether ThinkGeek plans to add more characters to the Totaku collection or what Sony's involvement is beyond simply licensing them. We got a question from this young boy.
Sackboy.
Named Zyger. He says...
This fucking kid.
Good evening, guys. Friday it was announced that PlayStation would be releasing its own figures called Totaku. Currently, Wave 1 has 10 figures, only 7 announced. What are your thoughts on this? As it turns out, there's no functionality in any games. The bases, shaped like the PlayStation Plus icon, have no NFC chip, and obviously the console doesn't have an NFC reader. Thus, we can eliminate any amiibo-like features. So why are they doing this? Is it just to appeal to fans of franchises who otherwise wouldn't have gotten merch on their own?
I
want it to be hinting towards the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale 2, but let's be realistic here. With Toys to Life games ending all over, RIP, Liquid Dimensions, Disney Infinity, and soon-to-be Skylanders, it makes sense why Sony stepped away from NFC features, but I feel like these figures are still leading up to something. What are your thoughts? Also, which figures would you want? I want a Spider-Man. Love you both. Sorry for the long question.
It's okay, Zucker. I forgive you. I don't really see these going anywhere. To me, I don't really understand why this is news. This is...
slow news to Andy.
It's
why.
Sure, but I see it no different than like, oh, you could buy this new toy from so and so. You know, like obviously, just like everything Zyger mentioned, there is nothing on the system that shows that it would be NFC capable. So these are just toys being sold by thinking. I don't see it leading anywhere. I think it's just a reason to sell more merchandise, which, I mean, more power to you if you make more money.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
Have more collectibles.
And jokes aside about this being news, I think that this is news because so many people are talking about it because of their similarity to Amiibo. They look very similar. They're similarly.
They have the base and everything.
The base, similarly scaled. I'm sorry that I'm very slurry and shitty talking today. My nose is so congested, and it's very hard for me to talk. I'm just letting you know. I appreciate your patience. I think that there's a lot of people excited about this because, yeah, we've seen merch for a lot of video games before and action figures, but usually they're unofficial or licensed and they don't all scale correctly. I think the idea of Amiibo, in addition to them doing in-game things, which I don't think is really why they're as popular as they are, they're popular because they all look similar.
It's a consistent, there's a consistent sort of vibe.
Yeah, vibe between all of them, and collectors like that. So I think that PlayStation and ThinkGeek here were like, you know what? Hey, we have an opportunity to do something cool. And like looking at this range of the seven that we've seen so far, I like how broad the spectrum is of the type different types of figures we're seeing. And I like the idea that this could grow and really show off PlayStation lineage because, you know, Nintendo has some of the most beloved characters of all time. And you look at something like Smash Brothers and there's just over 50 characters with a lot of Fire Emblem
shirtless
characters.
Shulk.
But like 50 characters that people care about, right? And I feel like it took PlayStation a while to get there, but now with over 20 years of lineage, they're there. Like they have characters and people can think back and have childhood memories of PlayStation 1 era, even PlayStation 2 era characters in a way that used to be reserved only for Nintendo before.
I would love to see a Rez figure.
That'd be cool.
Like just wireframed?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty tight. There.
Yeah. But yeah, I love the look of the Crash one. I'm definitely interested in getting that. Like it looks like old school Crash and I appreciate the love put into that stuff. I like how the boxes look. Like they're definitely aping Amiibo and I think it's a smart call. And not including all the weird gimmicky game stuff. Like I don't think that they need to. I agree with you. I don't think this is going to take off and like be this huge success like we saw with Amiibo. I think it's a little too late for that type of trend. But it's cool they're doing it and I think that it'll... At the end of the day, it'll be a wise business decision for them. Sure, they're not going to lose money on it.
Yeah. It costs like fucking 20 cents to 3D print those.
Yeah. And in terms, I'd love to see like Sweet Tooth and like a bunch of other random old school characters. Both.
Why not? The clown and the car.
Clown and the car.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Two separate things.
Oh, okay.
You'll get $20 from me. You know what I mean? Sony.
And that'll be an extended, like a special edition one, similar to how we have a Funko Pop of Ian Malcolm laying down. Mm-hmm. Ian Malcolm laying down with his.
I love it.
In that awesome pose.
So
it's the best thing that happened this weekend.
It is the best thing that happened.
Second to this next piece of news.
Second to the next piece of news that I think is a nice little segue here. More PlayStation merchandise. There's PlayStation shoes.
Yeah.
PG2s. This come from The Verge. Nike has released a pair of PlayStation-themed shoes in collaboration with basketball player Paul George called the PG2. The PG2 is George's second signature shoe, a follow-up to the PG1, if you can't do math there, and features light-up tongues bearing the PlayStation and PG logos. Buttons inside the tongues let you turn the lights on or off. There's also a pulse mode where the lights flicker and vibrate, supposedly like a PlayStation DualShock 4 controller. According to Engadget, the shoe's batteries aren't replaceable and have a lifespan of about 150 hours. George said Nike worked directly with the PlayStation team, which also provided the Galaxy graphic scene and the sock liner in the shoe. That print is available for download as a theme for PlayStation 4 consoles using a PSN voucher code that's embedded on the back of the left shoe.
Oh, fuck.
So a couple things weird about that. I mean, I like the theme. Definitely down for that. It being on the shoe, not a fan of that. The looks of it being on the shoe, definitely not a fan of that. I don't want no fucking barcode on the back of my goddamn shoe. The eyelets mimic the PlayStation controller button colors of green, blue, pink, and purple, and the blue rubber soles glow in the dark. For comfort, the shoes also feature bigger Nike Zoom Air units in the front foot section, which add extra cushioning. George currently plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and is an avid gamer with a preference for PlayStation consoles. These aren't the first pair of gaming console-themed shoes, blah, 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 blah. The PG2 shoes are limited edition, will be available globally starting February 10th for $110.
I'm willing to play Paul George one-on-one to get these shoes.
Yeah? You think you'll beat him?
Oh, yeah. Easily, dude.
Basketball, your favorite sport?
Easily, dude.
You like the way they dribble up and down the court?
I mean, I'm just like, you know, defensive shutdown. That's all I got to do, man. Yeah, I get it. When I saw these photos as we arrived from LA this past weekend, I got really excited because not only do I love the look, but I love that it is sort of this cross promotional thing. And not that I'm a huge Paul George fan, like I'm not an Oklahoma City Thunder, but I've always respected him as a player. Also, they call him PG-13 because his number is 13.
Ooh,
yeah, he wanted that sort of like name to be synonymous with PG-13. I'm super stoked for these. I wish that you could recharge them though. I wish it was just like a little micro USB thing.
Yeah,
they can put a barcode.
Those get bulky though. Like I have my light up shoes I used at KFL 2 and 3, and yeah, they have the USB thing, and you can kind of, you always feel it in the tongue. I get this, and that sucks that when they die, they're going to be dead forever. But like, I doubt these shoes are going to last that long anyways. Like for you, yeah, but you're not always going to have the light on. Get what I'm saying?
If you leave them on by accident.
Yeah, you got to be one of them.
I'm really excited about it, though. I can't wait to see him in action.
I'm very stoked about this. This is kind of like a weird meshing of my interests.
Right.
I usually don't like things that are the collaborations that are a little too heavy-handed.
Sure.
I think these do a good job of skirting the line. The big PlayStation logo on the tongue is kind of a little more than I personally like in my taste for this type of stuff. And especially the fact that it lights up, it's obnoxious. But then again, that kind of goes from my taste of like, oh, I actually like this, into my taste of I'm an obnoxious person that really likes loud things that light up the color blue.
Yeah, like your
they
toilet.
Remind me of my shoes that I often wear, the Jordan Aqua 8s that I'm wearing right now.
They kind of do, yeah.
The colorway of them. And I love it because the colors go with all the outfits that I wear, including this beautiful Kinda Funny Games daily shirt. You can get it at kindoffunny.com/store.
That's really good.
So I'm really interested in buying these shoes, but like most Nike shoes, if you want them, you're not just going to be able to like walk into a store and buy it. Like I have a feeling these are going to sell out instantly and be a pain in the ass.
We can call Shuhei Yoshida, man.
Especially at a price point so low, $110. Like I would have assumed these things would be way more than that, especially with like light up technology.
Be like the Shaqs at Payless for like $20.
Yeah, no.
I was kind of bummed out about the price.
I thought it was going to because Jordans even retail for more than $110. And granted, these aren't Jordans, but granted, these are a special limited edition celebration thing. So I don't know. I definitely want a pair, but I think a lot of people do as well. Like looking at our Facebook group and stuff, people are really stoked about this. And I think that when you have the shoe heads trying to get it, and you also have the nerds trying to get
shoe
it.
Shoe haze.
Then the shoe haze. I'm sure shoe haze is going to be rocking it.
Mm-hmm.
I love this type of thing. And you can tell that this isn't just some random ass bullshit marketing thing. Like there's people on both sides that really care.
That have a passion for it. Yeah.
And have a passion to make this thing happen.
Right.
So, and also there's nothing cooler than the galaxy colors all put together. So
yeah, I think it would be very easily like, you could see through the bullshit if it was some athlete that's never picked up a controller like PlayStation shoes. It'd be like, oh, we know that. But like, I know from following Paul George on social media and stuff that he, you know, is a gamer. So
yeah. Having said that, I wish they were Jordans because I like Jordans and I'm that type of fucking asshole. Final news story of the day. This comes from Kotaku. This is right up your interest alley, Andy.
Mm.
We finally got a good look at official post Final Fantasy X-2 character art. Square Enix just kicked off a Final Fantasy 30th anniversary exhibit in Tokyo. Among the displays was this Tidus and Yuna character art. This art might look familiar because black and white versions of these Tetsuya Nomura character designs, as well as ones for Chuami and Kurgum, were included in the Final Fantasy X/X2 HD remasters credits and bonus audio disc. That was in 2013. Now in 2018, the designs are back, but this time they're being shown in color for the first time, specifically for this exhibition. While fans have called these Final Fantasy X-3 character designs, Square Enix states that these are illustrations of Tidus and Yuna after the events of Final Fantasy X-2, which sounds very similar to what a X-3 would be.
A lot of words there, man.
A lot of words. I like the look of Tidus with like the Jekt headbandy thing going on. It's weird Yuna's still wearing her summoner garb. I'm still holding out hope that we're going to get a Final Fantasy X-3. Final Fantasy X, one of my favorite games of all time. Final Fantasy X-2 gets hated on a lot, and I understand it because it deserves a lot of hate. But the battle system was fantastic, and there was a lot of good about that game. A Final Fantasy X-3, if they brought it out of the weird pop star shit and brought it back into a more serious story, I think it'd be something really special. A reason I put this here is because I remembered that in Final Fantasy, in the HD remaster, they did have this weird audio drama that was a sequel to the games. And you can
listen
to it.
So like a supplemental thing?
Yeah, supplemental thing that kind of said what happens after.
Sure.
And I never listened to it. And I was like, you know what? This art made me think maybe I should. I want to know what happened, right? Mm-hmm. So I Wikipedia'd. Started reading a little bit. Andy, shit gets fucking weird. And I'm going to just tell you, we're going to need someone to let us know, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let me know where I get this wrong. But long story short, Andy, remember Blitzball?
Yeah.
Remember Titus, he's all running around kicking the balls and stuff? Yeah.
Floating and shit.
Titus and Yuna living happily ever after, right? Things get real complicated, thousand-year dreams, weird shit, right? Mm. But then, in this little audio drama,
sounds pretty normal
at some
to me.
Point, Titus sees a blitzball, or what he thinks is a blitzball, and he runs over to that thing and kicks it. It's not a blitzball.
It's a baby.
It's a bomb, and it blows his head off. Titus is dead. What the fuck? So yeah, I definitely want a Final Fantasy X-3 to not do that.
I barely remember 10. Like, 10 was, I think, kind of my first dive into the franchise. I was too busy playing Madden and getting chicks, man. You know what I'm saying,
dude?
I know
what you're saying, dude.
Tackles and interceptions, bro. Ooh, come on. Get off my back, dude. Wow. Get off my fucking back. But I'm glad you're interested in this.
I
don't give a shit.
Now it's time for the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. Out today, Andy, we got Chroma Gun. Mm. On the Nintendo Switch. You see this game?
No.
It looks like a weird Portal ripoff.
Okay.
Getting decent
reviews. Oh, no, I have. I've seen it. I saw it on the coming soon to Switch sort of portion, right? Yeah, eShop. Yeah.
Enough to interest me, but I'm like, I don't know. It seems a little too directly of a ripoff for me to be like, blind purchase, right? I want to wait for the reviews. A couple of them have been popping in. Nobody that I'm familiar with, so I don't know about the credibility, but I'm seeing a lot of like sevens for it. We'll see.
Might be worth checking out.
The Red Strings Club comes to PC.
Never heard of it.
No idea what that is. Switchblade, closed beta on PC. And most importantly, the PS4 Pro 1TB Glacier White system comes out today.
I would love to have that.
I want it so bad. All I want, I wish there was like a trade-in system. Like, I know that doesn't make any business sense. I know it doesn't at all. I would gladly pay a little bit of an upcharge to walk into a GameStop, drop off my black PS4 Pro, walk out with a beautiful fucking white one.
I think you can. Yeah, I think that sounds good. That's what they do.
What?
What are you talking about, Tim? They've been doing trade-ins.
Oh, yeah, no, but I'm talking about a little bit of a upcharge. I'm not talking like $200.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was like, that's their business model. I'm talking
maybe $20. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No. I really fucking want it, especially for that damn controller. It's so beautiful. Some new dates for you. Dean from Sydney says,
it's a new date.
Good day. Not a question. G'day, but more mate. Of a don't miss this for upcoming dates. Oh, that was good. A little Australian there.
Good day, Dean from Sydney.
Super One More Jump by SMG Studio is out January 25th and is playable at RTX Sydney. Keep kissing that turkey. We will keep kissing that turkey. And everyone going to RTX Sydney, enjoy. Have fun. Play some games. It's a very fun event over there.
Tell everybody I said hi, and like, if they want me back, just email me and we can talk numbers or whatever. Talk to Bernie, I guess.
Matt deals Holland. Of the day, Andy. Let me get to you some deals of the day.
Okay, please.
Titanfall 2 for PS4 and Xbox One is dirt damn cheap. A lot of people saying you should play this game for
dirt
more
damn
than this
cheap.
Money. You can go on eBay, search for user Gamer Candy, selling a whole bunch of copies of Titanfall 2 on PS4 and Xbox One for $8.
You should buy Titanfall 2 for fucking $12, man, because it's worth more than that. All right. Mm-hmm. I love Titanfall 2. It's one of my favorite games of 2015. 2015? 16?
16.
I love that goddamn game. One of my favorite campaigns in any first-person shooter. I had a joy with it, man. Brilliant level design. It's like goals. If you are an aspiring game developer or level designer or whatever, and you watch that game, it's like, God, this fucking took a lot of thought, and it's so smart, and I love it. Love it.
So yeah, $8 on eBay, user Gamer Candy, or if you want something a little more on the up and up, whatevs, Amazon, $10.
$10, dude, you can leave a fast food chain restaurant like a McDonald's and pay, I don't know, $9.91, and that's close to $10. It's a fucking video game, dude. You're going to enjoy that McDonald's for the next 12 minutes, and you're going to shit it out, and you're going to be like, man, I could have played a 7-hour campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's 7 hours. I feel like it's around there.
It was around, yeah.
Do the right thing, guys.
Do the right thing, man. Titanfall 2.
We need part 3.
eBay or Amazon.
I think we are getting part 3. But
you think?
I thought they confirmed that.
They definitely didn't say definitely not.
Yeah. I thought.
But they're like, we'll see about the future of Titanfall.
Yeah,
I don't think they confirmed.
Huh. Maybe not. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm pretty sure where Respawn was talking about a new franchise, they also said, and Titanfall 3 news. Something like that.
I don't know about that. It's when they got bought, right? Because they were talking about Star Wars and
Right.
And in the future of Titanfall.
I'm hung. I want some McDonald's,
the next installment. Damn it, Andy. Now it's time for Reader Mail. Sponsored by MeUndies and eHarmony.
Let's talk about cool.
Let's talk about MeUndies, Andy. You want to look good with your significant other this Valentine's Day? Because I know I do. Then check out MeUndies Matching Pairs. It's a unique, fun gift for you and your Valentine. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit and exciting prints. Don't spend another Valentine's Day giving the same old gift. Check out MeUndies.com and find the best match for your match. Hey, see what they did there?
I see.
MeUndies are the most comfortable and fun undies you and your significant other will ever own. I can tell you that right now, Andy. Guess what underwear I'm wearing right now?
Yes, we know. Nick and I talked about this on the morning show. Whenever we get free MeUndies, you take them all.
They're so good. They're so fantastic. And I'm going to continue to, because these things, woo, I will not wear other underwear.
And the new
point.
Slogan by someone in our chat said, MeUndies makes your pud look good.
It makes everything look good. There's this nice little pouch. I'm getting real graphic, but man,
awesome.
It's worth it.
Awesome.
I love them. They're so soft. How soft are they? They're made from the softest materials on earth. We're talking three times softer than cotton soft. And cotton's real, real soft.
That's some soft shit right there.
This is a no-brainer. Get 20% off matching undies for you and your significant other and 100% satisfaction guarantee. What are you waiting for? If you order by February 5th, you get free shipping for Valentine's Day.
Mm.
To get your 20% off your matching pairs, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/games. That's MeUndies.com/games. This will be the best Valentine's Day gift you'll ever give. Start matching your bottom half to your better half.
Man. That's a great
slogan. That was good. That was real good.
MeUndies, make your pud look good.
Go to MeUndies.com/games right now.
And then 2 days later, my birthday.
Yeah, February 16th.
It's almost Valentine's Day, you know? I'm turning 22 years old. Can't believe it, man. Never thought I'd be here.
A sweet 22.
Never thought I'd see the day.
Now, Andy, let me tell people about eHarmony.
Tell me.
If you are trying online dating, chances are you've run into lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, and random matches that don't turn into dates.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth, buddy? eHarmony is unlike many other dating sites. They take steps that other dating sites don't in order to find you a more compatible match. They're built to help you find lasting, meaningful relationships, not a shallow hookup site. So here's the thing. My good friend Jess, because the deal is here, you know, we wanted to give some experience on this. All of us, we're all booed up. So it's like, you know. So I reached out to my friend Jess, and I was like, Jess, you want to do this? She's like, yeah, sure. And I was like, I need your experience. Let me know what happens. She goes, there's a quote from Jess.
She got married yesterday.
It's crazy. It worked. The sign-up process was super easy. They asked questions like, what four words would your friends use to describe you? And how important super relationship traits are for you? They send you suggested matches in your email, and it feels a lot more manageable than endlessly swiping on some other dating sites. So they pretty much do all the work for you. You know, right? You fill out your personality. You let people know what you're looking for, and they're like, hey, we'll find people for you.
Hungry, horny, hangry, horngry.
Yeah.
Those would be mine.
The four H's, yeah. Dude. Stop waiting and start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love. eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started. Enter code GAMES at checkout. So that's all you got to do, Andy. Go to eHarmony.com, make your profile, do everything you got to do, and then at checkout, use code GAMES.
Easy.
Find love.
That's so easy, dude.
Find love.
Get on with your future.
I hope Jess finds love.
Me too,
I'll
dude.
Try to keep you guys updated.
Me too.
Here's your reader mail. GameX173 says,
Do I have to do that?
That was for the games out today. Yeah.
Can we start that segment over? Yeah.
Thanks for that, Andy.
Yeah.
Recently, there's been a lot of talks about Xbox needing to bring the games. We've talked about Crackdown, Halo, and Gears a great deal, but there's one major Microsoft property that hasn't been mentioned: Flight Simulator. No, I'm just kidding. What about Minecraft and Mojang?
Fucking GameX, man. He got me.
Is there any chance that Microsoft has something up their sleeves with them? Is there any chance that in 2018, Microsoft announces some new creative game by Mojang as an Xbox exclusive? If so, what would this look like and what would it mean for Xbox? And to be clear, I'm not saying they'd announce Minecraft 2, but I can see possibly a new IP. Interesting scenario there, my good friend GameX. I also don't think we're going to get a Minecraft 2 this soon. At some point, why wouldn't they, right? Like, that would just make so much money.
Yeah, start buzz again.
But a new IP from them is an interesting kind of scenario, because we've seen this Minecraft get added to and added to and added to. Minecraft's been at every E3 for like 7 years.
In many different ways and shapes and forms.
Yeah. Coming to every console. And last year we saw like kind of a big focus on, I guess 2 years ago, it was the more like the augmented AR, reality stuff. Then last year it was the super duper graphics pack. What more can they really add to it? So I'm sure they'll find something. Don't get me wrong. But the idea of a new IP would be interesting. And I'm sure that Microsoft's like, yo, man, we could use this.
Yeah. They're chomping at the bit to get something new out there. Whether they are working on something or not, I doubt they are.
Yeah.
I really think that they are the Minecraft machine. Mm. I don't see them venturing out and trying anything else. It's sort of like, I don't know. It sort of reminds me of when you get the studios that always make the simulators, like Civilization or The Sims. Those are the houses that only make that and that only. And I just don't, I'd be shocked if they came out with like, hey, we got a Metroidvania game coming. I just don't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make
but
sense
what about
in my
another
head.
Game like Minecraft? Different graphic style, you know, maybe different setting.
Timecraft. You can travel crafts with time. Goddamn, I just sold you a fucking idea, guys. Yeah. Can you believe that?
I hope you're listening. We did Zyger's question earlier.
Time
Dan Cop. M. We're almost 1 year out from the Switch launch and no news on a Smash Bros. Game. Do you think this leans more towards a new release or a port from the Wii U one? We've talked about this a lot. To keep it simple, I think that there is still room for it to be a deluxe port within the first two-thirds of 2018. If we get to the last third of 2018 and don't hear about it, it's going to be a Smash 5.
When did the original Smash Bros. Wii U game release? Was it
2013?
After or before Mario Kart or Mario Kart 8?
Way after.
Way after. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're going to get something brand new. I think they're going to... Fuck, I don't know. I just don't see how they're going to do... Because I keep thinking about competitive landscape. And I keep thinking about the gamepad and functionality there. And I know it's like some people are just like, yeah, you know, let the GameCube controller die. Go away, GameCube controller. But it's like, that's what makes me feel most comfortable. And at the end of the day, isn't it all about me, Tim?
It is. They're right? Looking out for you. The thing about Smash Brothers, and we talk about this on our Nintendo Prediction Games cast with Andre Seegers of Game Explained, that's live now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You should check that
Go
out.
Go watch it.
But the director of the Smash Brothers franchise, Masahiro Sakurai, is intimately involved with each of the games and cares so much about them. And in between each game, he always does a different project. We saw it with Melee to Kirby's Air Ride. Then we saw it with Brawl to Kid Icarus Uprising on the 3DS. So with the Wii U and 3DS Smash games coming out, two separate games that have a lot of crossover, and then with all of the DLC, that game didn't stop being worked on until last year. With the release of Bayonetta and Cloud and Corinne.
Mm.
So, or Corrin. Corinne is a girl.
Is a bachelor. I know. Yeah. I've heard that a million times.
You're welcome.
I'm tired of it. And frankly, you have a problem.
Hey, tonight is Bachelor Monday. Tune in, ABC,
Nobody
8 p.m.
gives a shit, Tim.
I do. I'm rooting for Becca, and so is everyone else out there. It's Becca with an H. Yeah, so I'd be surprised if they're working on a Smash 5 so soon because of Sakurai's involvement. However, I can see them working on it without him and just being like, hey, guys, we got the Switch. We got to get fucking shit moving. Sorry, right. Sakurai. You're either you're gone or you're working on something else. Go away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they necessarily have that mindset of like, we got to get the show going because they've had so much success with other older ports. Mm-hmm. Give us fucking Super Mario Ultra, what's it called? The world one?
3D World.
3D World. Give us that goddamn game, man. That's like the perfect game to play with friends on a Switch. I just want that game so bad.
I want that game so bad.
Give it to us, Nintendo.
I want to do a party mode of that game so bad where we play through the whole game world by world.
Yeah.
The problem with it is it's on the Wii U. And if we were to do that, we need to buy 4 Wii U Pro controllers. I'm like, just put it on the goddamn Switch.
Quit messing around with our feelings, man.
Jared Howard says, hey, with the Nintendo Direct Mini having no announcements for the 3DS, do you think Nintendo is starting to slowly go away from the device, or are they waiting for when they do their longer Nintendo Directs?
I feel like every time we think they're going to kill it, they don't.
Well, so here's the thing. NPD numbers came in for sales of systems in the last couple of months of the year. And in December that just passed, 2017, the 3DS had its best month since one of its early months. If that says anything, they're not going to totally give up on this system. Why would they? There's right. such an install base. There's still people buying it between the 2DS and 3DS family of systems.
And they keep coming up with like cute different versions of it. Pikachu one looks great.
It's going to keep selling. I think that gone are the days of major IP coming to the 3DS. I think we're going to see a bunch of smaller titles. I think that we'll see spinoff titles, things like Detective Pikachu and things like that. We're not going to see the next core Pokemon game is not going to be on the 3DS.
I agree.
So I think we'll still start seeing little things pop up. Will they be in Nintendo Directs? Maybe as a little mention. But Nintendo's been announcing a lot of things just in press releases that just kind of come out of nowhere, not indirect. So I think we're going to see a lot more of
Nintendo
that.
Nintendo Indirects.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Right, Kevin?
Javier Bonet-Ruiz says, hey, Tim and Andy, I know you guys did an episode of 2018 gaming predictions, but you never mentioned your most anticipated games. What games are you guys eagerly awaiting? Mine are Detroit Become Human, God of War, and Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Jeez, I forgot that game existed.
Yeah, Bloodstained's still a thing.
Holy shit.
What are the chances of that being good? I'm not thinking high.
I'm waiting for, you know what? I have sort of stumbled upon some stuff in Reset Era where they are talking about Bloodstained. And sort of like developer progress. Some of it looks a little bit rough. And then people in the comments are like, hey, maybe it'll look better in the next episode. So I don't know, man. I think it might still be fun to play. I just don't know if it'll exactly look the way people want it to look. What are my most anticipated games? Detroit is one of them. God of War as well. Never gave a shit about the God of War franchise until this most recent iteration. Can't wait for a sequel to the Mass Effect trilogy. I would love to see a new Mass Effect game where maybe we go to like Uncharted Worlds and it's awesome and we get to meet new aliens and stuff. That'd be really cool. And people are going to think I'm serious about that if they can't sense my sarcasm. There's no way The Last of Us is coming out this year.
No.
Not even a little bit. What if it's December 30th?
I'm most excited for the things that are kind of the easy ones.
Spider-Man.
No surprise. Spider-Man, God of War, Detroit. Like, Sony has a lot of games coming out that I'm definitely looking forward to playing. This is going to be a killer year for them. On the Nintendo front, there's nothing that's really, like, getting me super hyped so far. Like, I'm very excited to replay through Bayonetta 1 and 2 on the Switch and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze because that is one of my favorite 2D platformers. And playing it again is very exciting to me. But, like, I'm not going to put that on my list of most anticipated.
Here's my most anticipated games. Of 2018. Hmm. I'm going on record right here. Mario Tennis Aces.
Looks good. Looks like a lot of fun.
I am so sad that I don't have it right now. And it's a game that I can't, like, there's a new tennis game out on the eShop right now. I don't know what it is. It's a tennis, like, 3D game. It's like $10 or $15. And I'm just so sad that I have to wait longer for Mario Aces. Because I love tennis games, and I love the fact that they're bringing back a story. And I'd say that's probably one of my more anticipated titles.
I'm going to throw one at you, Nick. Not Nick.
Andy. Who's Nick?
Red Dead.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that game.
That's a thing.
That's a great one to forget about.
It is, man. Just like let it be.
But here's what I'm worried about, though. Mm. I'm worried about... I mean, it's Rockstar, right? They've got $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Every one of them has $1 billion, every employee there.
Yeah.
How much effort is going to be put into a single player story? Or are they going to go for this sort of open world? Like, is the campaign going to be like 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours?
There's no way.
There's no way?
I don't think there's a possibility of that. Like, they make so much money off their games, and they know what they're doing. And they know that they can put out whatever the fucking people are going to buy it. But I think there's a je ne sais quoi to Rockstar where they're like, we're going to put out something that's,
and we're going to impress the shit out of you.
It's going to be a fucking 10. It's going to sell well, and it's going to be a 10.
Right.
So I think that they know what they're doing.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And speaking of Red Dead, we got another question here from Daniel McCrory. Hi, Tim and Andy. With so many games awaiting a release date.
Hi, Daniel.
Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2 on the horizon, do you think publishers are waiting on Rockstar to announce the release date for RDR2 before announcing anything to avoid a delay or pushing the game forward? I don't think so. everyone is kind of working with their own plans. The idea that they're all kind of waiting and seeing what other people are doing, you can't do that because you kind of got to, like, when you're Sony and you have so many different games, you got to kind of work against your own release calendar schedule, right, and not worry too much about the other guys. Having said that, Rockstar is kind of in a league of its own. But with so many of these games, especially they're supposed to be the first half of 2018, I don't think that there's any wiggle room. These games can't get pushed back, or not pushed back. They can't move too much, or else they're going to interfere with each other, right? And Sony does not want that to happen.
To me, they are the people that you avoid. They are the one who knocks. You know, they could just do whatever the fuck they want, and people just will organize and schedule and plan around them. Yeah. That's so baller, dude. It's so cool to be that cool. I wonder what it's like.
Mark says, what's good? Kind of funny. This weekend, my friend and I tried out the Metal Gear Survive beta, multiplayer only, and we came to a singular conclusion that it was actually not bad.
Not terrible.
Good, even. Enough that we are at least sold on the full version, which will hopefully be more polished and at a reasonably priced $40, I doubt they had much of a choice on price with the controversy surrounding the game. In my opinion, this is a testament to the greatness of the Fox Engine.
All hail Fox Engine,
despite the negativity around it, somewhere in the Fortnite-like base building and the frantic tower defense reminiscent of Sanctum, there are clear traces of Kojima to be found. We feel a little guilty for enjoying the game, but that is quickly overrided by how much fun we had stepping back into a world with its roots in Metal Gear. Are we terrible people? I know there's a lot to unpack here. Greg has a personal relationship with Kojima. The franchise itself has grown beyond its creator. Konami is technically within its rights to do it. What about others besides Kojima who have worked on this franchise? Is this their time to shine? Et cetera, et cetera. Just want to hear your thoughts. Seriously, you should at least try this game. Thanks for all the awesome content, Mark. I wanted to read this just to, like, give the shout out that there are people playing this, enjoying it, because I know there's a lot of people like, fuck this, not even going to give it the time of day. We've kind of talked this game to death in terms of our experience with it, but playing it at E3 this year, it was like, man, like, we gave it the shot and it was not good. It was rough. It's been a while, so hopefully they fixed all those problems. Based on what you're saying here, it sounds like it's similar to what we experienced. But at the end of the day, you're right. Fox Engine is god tier. Like, that game, any game on the system looks beautiful, and playing it is awesome. The gameplay of Metal Gear Solid 5 is fantastic, and it's unparalleled. I just wish that it was put into something with a little bit more care and love than we're seeing here, because I think in addition to all the stuff you're bringing up about, are we bad people for playing? No, you're not bad people, and whatever. It's business. It's games.
Right.
But it is definitely a money grab here. It doesn't look like people making the game really give a fuck about it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know there's that sort of feeling of, like, I have to be loyal to Kojima, even though he doesn't know I exist. But, like, at any moment...
He will.
Because I'm a... yeah, exactly. Because at any moment, if Konami were like, hey, we're going to put out a Metal Gear Solid 2 full remaster, full remake in Fox Engine, I would be so in.
Me too.
And that sucks.
Me too. But that sucks in terms of the terrible people thing, but right, whatever, dude, fuck that. Enjoy what you want to enjoy. I just don't want to enjoy this. I think that's the thing. It's like, right, yeah, if they were remaking one of the older games, it'd be totally about that instead of the pachinko bullshit. But with this, there's such a cool idea there that they don't really commit to.
It just feels forced.
It's super forced. And I'm like, nobody is really, like, clamoring for this. Like, why would you do this?
But we have the tools. Let's just make something, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now it's time for Squad Up. Eduardo. On PlayStation 4, his username is Sonorith. That's Sonorith. Says, hello, Tim and Andy. This is a combination of Squad Up and a please Shuhei, let us change our names. I bit the bullet.
You can have two, Eduardo.
I bit the bullet and made a new PS4 account just to change my name. It's kind of refreshing. It's a clean break from all the incomplete platinums that haunt me and friends I haven't played with in years. But now I need some best friends with whom to play Monster Hunter World, Call of Duty World War II, Warframe, and any other rambunctious multiplayer game. The caveat is that I'd likely be streaming our exploits and adventures, though it won't be every time we play. Please, can I get some best friends to help a quote-unquote new player out? Love the show and all you guys do. Keep it up. So go follow Sonic. With become friends, stream with him, play games, have a good time.
Go be friends with my buddy Eddie. We call him Eddie. His real name is Eduardo Santiago, but we call him Eddie San. Yeah. Are we doing kind of do I have to do the you're wrong thing?
I'm doing it now, don't worry.
Okay,
Andy.
No problem.
Just look cute.
Okay.
Can we now get it's time one? For kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You can be part of the show. Go to that site, let us know what we get wrong during the show as we do it. Lord Apone says, Tim said there was a Monster Hunter game coming out for the Switch when in fact Monster Hunter Double X already came out in Japan for the Switch on August 25th, 2017. And a reminder that the Switch is region free.
So it's already out.
There you go.
Good to know.
Kebab says the two new Super Saiyan forms are Super Saiyan God with the red hair and Super Saiyan Blue with the blue hair.
I knew it.
The latter is called Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan.
Mario Mario and Luigi Mario.
In universe, because Japan is confusing. The cat's dude name is Beerus, the god of destruction.
Beerus, that's right.
He beats SS3 Goku in One Punch.
Yeah. No, it's funny though, dude. It's like...
Yeah, like, come on, guys.
The movie is, like, legitimately funny, though. Like, it's, yeah, the movie that came out, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I forgot what it was, kind of funny, .com, Tasha, you're wrong. It's the one that stars Beerus, where they sort of, he realized that he has to go Super Saiyan God. And it is, like, really funny, man. I had a great, like, I actually laughed out loud many times. Yeah.
Capitalist Pig, my dude. Says, Tim said the developer was Arc Softworks of Dragon Ball FighterZ. Their name is actually Arc System Works.
Arc System Works.
A minor correction, but it does make it hard for people to look up the studio if they wanted more of their history.
More and more Ruby characters going to be in that Blaze Blue.
More and more, man.
Yeah.
People aren't liking that news.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because Ruby
and Weiss.
And Weiss are in it, and it sounds like Blake and Yang are going to be DLC. People are upset that the game announced a lot of characters in its roster, and like only half of them are in the game. The rest are DLC.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
They look cool, though.
Brock of Rock says, Dragon Ball FighterZ uses 24 frames per second for cutscenes to further make them look like the anime, which
That's
was
cool.
originally created at that framework.
Smart. Great.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
More authentic, Tim. We don't need 60 frames motion plus clear with our Dragon Ball Z. You know what I'm saying, Kevin? Every TV needs to remove that motion plus bullshit.
Just like, get the fuck.
Get rid of it.
Vin Zombie says, according to Steam, the Red Strings Club is a cyberpunk narrative experience about fate and happiness featuring the extensive use of pottery, bartending, and impersonating people on the phone to take down a corporate conspiracy. It's developed by Deconstruct Team and published by Devolver Digital. It's got some cool pixel art. Worth checking out.
Oh, that whole vibe sort of reminds me of 2064, read-only memories.
Capitalist Pig says, regarding the Final Fantasy X audio drama, the audio drama is called Final Fantasy X Will and features Chuami, the alleged daughter of Auron, and her interactions with Yuna and Tidus as they deal with the return of Sin. The drama ends with a cliffhanger where Yuna vows to defeat Sin, but no media was created as a follow-up. It can be found on the Final Fantasy X-X2 HD remaster and runs about 30 minutes. Reception amongst North American audiences seems to be universally negative.
I thought it was going to be called Final Fantasy X. Tidus kicks a blitzball and his head explodes.
Mr. Yasman says, EA and Respawn announced a new Titanfall game when EA bought Respawn. And the IGN article says it's a new title in the Titanfall franchise.
Kindoffunny.com/Andy's right.
Smash Bros. Came out in 2014. I think I said 2013.
Yeah, you did.
Tropical Freeze came out in 2013.
Tropical Freeze.
No, it was supposed to. Then it was early 24. I don't fucking care. You know what, guys?
He doesn't give a shit.
Here, he's not giving a shit about anything.
He's just like, when's The Bachelor?
Tonight, 8 p.m. ABC.
Who cares? Who fucking cares?
I think Andy's talking about Tennis in the Face. Says Sonarith, who you should all follow as a
Tennis
PSN
in the
friend.
Face.
Tennis in the Face.
I don't think so. I think it's just called... I could have sworn that we clicked on the eShop and it just said Tennis. And I was like, there's got to be another game named Tennis already.
Andy, thank you for joining me today on this beautiful, beautiful Monday.
I fucking guess, dude.
Yeah, man.
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, too. Tomorrow, the show will be me and Andrea Renee, the busiest woman in the industry. Is that what it is?
Busiest lady in games.
Busiest lady
What's
in
good,
the
Greg? That's what she says to
What's
him.
What's good?
I'll see y'all on Friday. I'll be back on
He'll
Friday.
Be back on Friday.
In case you want some more in-depth scoops with me in the games industry, hit me up.
Bye.
Bye, guys.